Lovely to be with you. Let us pray. May my words be your words, Father God, and may they speak from your heart to ours. Amen. Now, not always, but quite often, we use the New Testament readings for our preachers, but today I'm going to focus on the Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel. Partly because I've been studying Old Testament this term and I'm loving the rich stories of the characters there, but partly because the story of Hannah dedicating Samuel to the Lord is a very powerful image of motherhood. And by motherhood, I mean being and doing mothering, which is clearly not something that's limited to those who've given birth to a child, nor even has to be female. We're all mothers to someone, aren't we? The Oxford Dictionary defines the word motherly as having or showing the good. And I've got no doubt that everybody here this morning has or shows the good in somebody or something in their lives. It might be in a relationship in your family. It could be with a friend or a work colleague, a pet or a member of the church family. But treating them with tenderness, giving them gentle encouragement, teaching and showing them the goodness within themselves might all be said to be mothering attributes. And it's those gifts that we celebrate this morning, whoever you choose to share that relationship with. Now, we all know the sacrifices that Mary made as a mother, but Hannah makes the ultimate sacrifice in her mothering relationship. She goes a lot further than most of us. She doesn't just try and make sure that her child eats fruit and vegetables and says please and thank you, which is the best some of us can hope for. She actually gives her child away to the Lord. Imagine. I don't know about you. Maybe there have been days when you felt that you could cheerfully have given your children away. But when it comes down to it, few of us actually would. And remember, Hannah had longed for this child for years. She had prayed and prayed to the Lord and had made him a promise. Hannah said, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." And yet, despite longing for this child for so many years, she makes this incredible sacrifice of fulfilling her promise to the Lord, to Yahweh, and she takes the child to be given over to him. The Hebrew verb used to describe this giving over is shahal, which means asked for loan of or to be lent to. But what a sacrifice. What obedience and what faithfulness. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that struggled to have children. And when they finally did, can't begin to imagine the sacrifice of then handing that child over. Or those who have never been able to have children and have a glimpse of what that might feel like. But Hannah's a pretty extraordinary woman. And of course, we have to look at this passage in context. And like many of the stories in the Old Testament, Hannah's story is no doubt intended as being representative of Israel's story too. In the chapters ahead, we learn how Israel was facing a very uncertain future and how all that plays out. So the Lord's remembering of the plight of a childless woman like Hannah gave hope, hope that God would remember and provide for Israel's future too. So this story is a trumpet sounding, an alert call that in the coming stories of prophets and kings, battles and politics, the real story is actually that of God's grace, because that's where the hope always lies. Israel's future will be the gift of God and not simply of its own making. The movement of God's grace towards Israel's future with kings, uncertain and controversial as it seemed at the time, will begin with Hannah and her son Samuel. Indeed, Hannah's name itself means grace in Hebrew. But not only that, but Hannah's song, which comes in the chapter immediately after the one we heard this morning, proclaims and celebrates what this radical new grace might look like. Because Hannah's song celebrates the reversals of power that God makes possible. Weakness made strong, the lowly made exalted, the barren given children, the hungry filled, and the poor made rich. And to a nation who had suffered oppression from powerful rulers for years and years, this was the stuff of dreams. So how can Hannah's story help us make sense of what God might be calling us to do as the body of Christ, to fulfill our promises to him? Thankfully, I don't think he wants us to give up our children in the literal sense. I don't know about you, but mine took a lot of time and effort to get here, and I'm not giving her up to anybody. But I do think that he expects us to make some serious sacrifices in our lives, to be obedient to him, and that's not easy. In our calling to be the body of Christ in this place, we surely need to make sacrifices of our time, gifts of our skills and talents, and sometimes gifts of our hearts to others, no matter how difficult we find it, all to fulfill our promises to God. And although his gift of grace is freely given, to be in right relationship with him, we need at the very least to keep our side of that covenantal relationship, to follow him, to serve in his name, to love our neighbour and so on. But not just to do it once, but to keep doing it, re-sacrifice, to re-give of ourselves and our promises to God. Because when Hannah gave her child over, she would be remaking that sacrifice in her heart every day of her life. Now, I know that I've felt the love and the mothering of the congregations both at St. Mark's and St. Saviour's through my journey of faith and my current path through ordination training. Without your help, your putting up with my novice preaching and leading and your mothering of me in all kinds of ways, they've been a sacrifice on your part. But what might God be calling us all to do together in the years ahead? And even more so in Lent, perhaps, it's a good time to consider what sacrifices we might personally need to make to fulfill our promises to God. And what help might we need to make those sacrifices? Might we need more prayer, more practical support, more teaching or training? Returning to the story of Hannah for one last time, I do like the fact that although she gave her son up to the Lord when he was very young, she fortified him for the journey first, and it tells us several times that it was only after he was weaned that she took him to the house of the Lord. And somehow, in my funny head, that reminded me of the story of Paddington Bear and his marmalade sandwiches. Because Paddington was sacrificed, if you like, as are many children who end up fostered or adopted for his own well-being. His family made the sacrifice to send him overseas to have a better life. And he's described in rather a forlorn manner on the London station platform, not knowing where he's going to go until he's taken home by the Brown family. But even though he's made a long journey from darkest Peru, his family, like Hannah with Samuel, have made sure that he was fully weaned and fully fortified for his journey by making him some marmalade sandwiches to keep under his hat for emergencies. And not only did Paddington need help on his journey in terms of fortification, he also needed to fully abandon himself to trusting the Brown family to look after him if his future was to be secured. So like the people of Israel, trusting in God's promises to them, sacrifices had to be made to cement their relationship. And like them, we are called to make sacrifices in abandoning our lives to God. Because following Jesus in the 21st century, when as Christians we've become a minority, is not easy. But finally, I'll leave you with some words of encouragement and wisdom from another famous mother, Mother Teresa. She teaches us the following about the cost of discipleship and our fears that we might not be up to the task. She said, "A sacrifice to be real must cost, must hurt, and must empty ourselves. Give yourself fully to God, and he will use you to accomplish great things on the condition that you believe much more in his love than in your weakness." Now, Hannah and Samuel's story is one of cost and hurt, but of her truly emptying herself and giving of all she had to God. She trusted in his love, in his promise to her and to Israel, much more than in her own weakness. And in some way, we need to find our own way to do the same. So let's leave here today reconsidering the incredible gift of grace God has promised to us and what we might do in return. But in being challenged to think about sacrifices we might be called to make for the one who gave us everything, let's not forget in all that our mothering responsibilities. And so let's make lots of marmalade sandwiches for each other on the way. Amen.